So much, Carol, and a beautiful, beautiful song. What a blessing that is. And he does care. Amen. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, he cares. And he loves you, and praise the Lord for that. Well, we're glad that each of you are here. We had a great trip. Seniors were good little boys and girls most of the time. I did just find out just this morning about something that I didn't know about. And I'm not going to tell you. No. But anyway, it was a good group, good time, and I don't think any of them sinned other than this one thing that I just found out about. But anyway, we had a great time, and you'll hear all about it. You probably already have if you keep up with all the things kids talk about and everything. I think there were detailed accounts every day of everything. I sniffed just now, and I ate this, and I just threw up. But no, they didn't do that. But there's just everything. I mean, and we had a great time, and of course it was very hot. And praise the Lord, though. It's always good to be back. And went to a little Baptist church. I was telling the Sunday school class, went to a little Baptist church just south of Kissimmee, really right off of Interstate 4. Oak Hill Baptist Church, and just a little country church, honestly, very laid-back group of folks, and we have handshaking time, they have hug-a-neck time, and just hearing the southern talk and everything, just very laid-back, and we had a great time of fellowship with those folks, and just a wonderful time in the services, and anyway, we had a great trip. It's always good to be back. I miss our church, and I miss being here in our church, and we love you, and miss you so much, but again, it was a very, very good trip. Matthew 20 here, we have a situation of a blind or two blind men, and it is just a great passage of what the Lord can do for us. And so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started then. Father, thank you again for a great trip that we had, and certainly others have been gone and out and about, and we just thank you for safety and bringing us back together today. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, give us what we need from your word, and just challenge each and every one of us. If there's anyone here not saved, Father, I pray they would not leave that way, that they would get that settled. They'd trust you, they'd be saved, and leave this place knowing for sure they're going to heaven. And please bless, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to say I was probably 5 years old when my parents decided to teach me how to ride a bike. And I think that's about the right age. I'm not sure, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. And I remember getting a bicycle. In fact, there's pictures of it. We have some pictures. And there's a big bicycle back in those days. Yes, they had bicycles back in those days. But I still remember that big bicycle. And I remember my parents telling the story of how they would put me on the bike and do everything right. And really, it's not that hard to ride. You just have to do it. But I kept running into everything. And, you know, I think they thought, oh, you know, he's got serious issues. And literally, I mean, there'd be a tree and I'd run into it. There'd be the house and I ran into it. I mean, I'm just running into everything. I could not keep from running into things. Finally, they figured out that maybe I might not be able to see. So I went to the eye doctor, and sure enough, at the age of 5 or 6, whatever that was, I had these thick Coke bottle bottom glasses. I mean, these were thick glasses even as a child. That thus began all the jokes and being called four eyes and all that kind of stuff, and literally getting my glasses broken playing football and getting punched and whatever else ways you break your glasses. And that started me paying a lot of attention to my eyes. And of course, contacts came out when I was in 6th or 7th grade. I had one of the first pairs of contacts when I was a 7th grader, and they were the hard plastic contacts. And you put them in, and you know, everybody says, "How you doing?" You say, "Oh, doing great. I really like these." You know what I mean? It's like you have something in your eye. Well, you did. It's your contact. And if you remember, how many of you had those old plastic contacts? All right, you know what I'm talking about. And it was tough getting used to those. And of course, I lost, I don't know how many of those. By the way, it's interesting. I did not lose any more contacts after I paid for one. So Dad finally got smart. I think I lost 7 contacts. I'm not sure, but I paid for one, and then I never lost any since. Again, you know, all the different things. And then, of course, I was diagnosed with glaucoma. I don't know how many years ago, and my sight started to go away. And even before that, without correction, I mean, there was no way. I had to have either contacts or glasses or something. And I've put drops in my eyes now for years for my glaucoma. I've had laser surgeries, all kinds of laser surgeries, and all of that. And in spite of that, you know, the doctor has said, and I just had an eye appointment. He said, you know, the glaucoma, the pressure's looking good, but my nearsightedness is getting worse again, and cataracts, all those different things, and everything, all these treatments, laser drops, all this stuff, hundreds, thousands of dollars being spent for my eyes, and without that, literally, according to my eye doctor, I would be blind. And, you know, if you ever think about being blind, it is an amazing thing, really, how much we rely on our sight. We were watching somebody at one of the Disney parks down in Florida, and there was a person, they had their cane, and they were blind and just walking around, and some people were kind of guiding them. And my wife and I both were just sitting there and noticing and commenting how much we rely on our sight. And we count on our sight to be able to see. And all that's around. I mean, you have this park, and so much of it you're there to see. And you want to see all the things that are going on, and you want to see what all is being done, and you want to see the different things. And there was a blind person in the midst of that. And my first thought was, I wonder why they would come. You know, I thought that. And then it just caused me to say, thank you so much, God. Thank you that I can see. Thank you that I can see all these things. Thank you that I can see a congregation, though I can't see very far, but I can see a congregation. Thank you that I can see the ocean, and we got to see that. And we could see, as we flew, we could see the beautiful clouds below. And just an amazing thing our sight is. But I say all that to say this, that when I was a teenager, I realized that there was more than just physical sight. I realized that I could not see spiritually. I realized that though I was with glasses or contacts, I was able to see physically, I still was not able to see spiritually. I was literally blind spiritually. People would talk to me about the Lord, and they would talk to me about going to heaven, and I had no clue what they were. I could not see what they were talking about. They talked about Jesus dying on a cross, and I just could not see what it was they were telling me about. They told me that God loved me, but I couldn't see that God loved me because spiritually I couldn't see God. I couldn't see heaven. I couldn't see any of it. I did not have the eyes of faith where I could see these things. And that's the kind of the story here. We have a physically blind couple of people here, but we also have spiritually blind people. I think that's true here. We have folks that are spiritually blind. The Bible says in verse 29, there's a great multitude following Jesus. Now, I thought about that. I read that, and I thought about, why are they all following him? What do they want from Jesus? It's a great multitude. They've heard about his miracles. Some are following him. They want to see a miracle. Some are following him because they need his help. Well, we heard that he could heal, and I need to be healed, and so I'll follow him. They maybe wanted him to answer a question that they had to come up with, and they wanted maybe him to give them an answer. But for some reason, there's this great multitude, and in this great multitude, there were two men that were not able to see anything. They weren't following to see a miracle because they could not see. They were feeling their way around, and certainly, I'm not sure in that day if they had any kind of a stick that they could have used to maybe, like a blind person might today. I doubt that they would have had a seeing eye dog or anything like that to guide them through that crowd. But in this huge multitude, there's two men here that they couldn't see. They were blind. I want to talk to you this morning about the words that are found in this passage of Scripture and found in verse 33, and it is that our eyes may be open, that our eyes may be open. Here's this multitude, And this multitude, all of them are following Jesus. They've heard about him somehow, and the word has spread. And in the midst of that are two men. And in my mind, I see them, and maybe their arms are locked together because they're both blind. They cannot, one can't see any better than the other. Neither of them can see anything. And in my mind, I see them together. They're kind of feeling their way through the multitude, trying to get to Jesus because they needed Jesus' help. And really, as I think of these two blind men, they probably annoyed everybody around them. I mean, they're trying to, I'm thinking about the crowds we were just in. It's just amazing, all the people. By the way, if you go down there, you'll find out there's not an economic problem at all. I mean, people are throwing money around like crazy. It is just unbelievable. But I mean, there's people everywhere, and you're trying to get through. And in my mind, I see these blind. I mean, it's bad enough when you can see and you try to get through a crowd. Try to imagine two people that are blind. And this multitude, I can just hear them talking about them, saying, hey, don't run into it. Yeah, get away from it, because they can't see. They're running into people and nudging people and everything else. And really, it seems like these guys probably aren't going to get anything at all. It just seems like because they're blind, they're not even going to be able to come to Jesus. They can't see him. They can't. All they can do is try to let the crowd guide them. But, let me tell you something. They're very important to Jesus. They really are. You know, I think of these two blind men. I think of myself. It seems like there was no bus ministry where I lived. I would have been a bus kid, maybe. My parents didn't go to church. They weren't interested in church when I was growing up, and really there was some neighbors that went to church, and they would invite us every now and then, my sister and I, to go to church. But one thing about it, you know, I was blind, but Jesus still cared about me and he loved me, and he knows where a blind person is. He can find you when maybe you don't think you can find him. I want to show you some things about this passage that our eyes may be opened, that I think really could apply to most of us here today. Number one, we see the men. And the first thing we see about them is their circumstances here. And everybody here has different circumstances, just like this multitude had different circumstances. I would imagine with the blind men, there were probably some men that were dragging their leg because they were lame in one leg. I would imagine that in this multitude, there were some that could not hear. I would imagine in this multitude, there were some that could not speak. I would imagine that some had been told by their doctor that they only have a few days, weeks, months yet to live. I would imagine there were some that were having marital problems. There were some that were having problems with their teenagers. There were some that were having problems with their job. I mean, I would imagine in that multitude, it'd be a lot like this multitude. There were a lot of needs. There were a lot of problems. And their circumstances were all varied kinds of circumstances. These blind men, several things about their circumstances. The one thing, there's no question, they were poor, because a blind man would have no means of income. And often in the Bible, when you see a blind man or a blind person, you see them, they're maybe holding a cup out, and people help them out that way, and some will feed them, and some will take care of them. And these men, the Bible says two blind men sitting by the wayside, and by the wayside, they would have been by the wayside typically. They would be there begging, trying to get some food, trying to get some money so they could make it. But I think about them being there, and they're poor. They have no living, and basically, not a whole lot of people care about them. Not a whole lot of people. It really matters to them. A lot of people maybe throw a penny in every now and then, and just to soothe their conscience. But the truth of the matter is, these men were poor. But you know, the richest people can be poor. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own soul? And so here's a group of people, a multitude of people, and some have lots and lots of money. These men, they were very poor, but they all needed Jesus. You're here today, and maybe, you know, you've got the financial thing figured out. You've got that under control. But I promise you this, you still need the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, many needs that we have that are not necessarily financial. They were poor. They were blind. They couldn't even see the Lord Jesus. They couldn't see the Savior. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, look at it real quick. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, I was talking about myself as a young person. Everybody has been in this position where you were spiritually blind, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, spiritual blindness is far, far worse than physical blindness. Now, I don't want to be physically blind. I've spent a lot of money. I put drops in. I'll do whatever surgery the doctor tells me to do. I mean, I'm doing everything I can and hoping they'll do whatever they can to keep me from being physically blind. But I thank God today that I'm no longer spiritually blind. I thank God today that though the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of so many, he's blinded spiritually so many people. Thank God today I can see Jesus. Thank God today I see the gospel. Thank God today I know that he died. He was buried. He rose again. I know that he did that so I could be saved, and I called on him to save me. Thank God today nobody has to be spiritually blind. I think you ought to go to the eye doctor. I think you ought to wear the glasses. I think you ought to wear the contacts. I think you ought to do the drops. I think you ought to do the laser surgery, whatever it takes to keep your physical eyes. But my friend, today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to look at the Word of God to get your spiritual eyes open. I want you to look today into the Word of God and to understand that the God of this world, Satan, the small g God of this world, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. And you may be here today as one of those who believe not. And I want to tell you something, you're blind today. And until you let the Lord open up your eyes, you're going to stay blind. You need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. You need to realize that Jesus died on a cross to pay for your sin, and you cannot go to heaven any other way. You cannot go to heaven any other way. Jesus said, I am the way. Neither is there salvation in any other. He's the only way. Don't leave blind. Don't leave spiritually blind without Jesus Christ. They were poor. They were blind. They were helpless. They were helpless. There were two of them, the Bible says. I think it's interesting. There is another passage in the scripture about a one blind man, but here there's two of them. You understand, one could not help the other. Do you realize that unsaved people cannot help each other get saved? I mean, it's the blind leading the blind. It's foolish to think one lost sinner can help another lost sinner with a spiritual thing. It's foolish. By the way, it's foolish to think one backslider can help another backslider. You're not going to get help as a backslider from a backslider. If I'm backslidden and Tim's backslidden, we can't help each other. If he can't see and I can't see, we're going to have a hard time getting anywhere. And if you can't see, you will be foolish to go to somebody else who can't see to get your help. I promise you this, though, you can always go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always there to help. I mean, I only say there's two of them. One could not help the other one. Couldn't do it. It's impossible. Hey, Fred, which way should we go? I don't know. Which way do you think we should go? I don't know. And they couldn't help each other. They were helpless. By the way, realize that help, spiritual help, has to come from the Lord. It has to come from the Lord. You know, the church can point you to the Lord if it will. Amen. And it should. That's what we're here for. But the church can't help without the Lord. No church can. Doesn't matter what the church is. If it's not the Lord, it's not going to help you. If you're not, you say, well, I'm just going to go to church and get everything worked out. Going to church isn't going to work anything out. Going to church and letting them lead you to the Lord will work everything out. I thank God to this day. All the churches I could have gone to, I thank God that I went to churches every time where I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, as a blind man, as a spiritually blind man, I didn't know anything. I didn't know Genesis. I didn't know Exodus. I didn't know Leviticus. I didn't know about Adam and Eve. I didn't know about Jonah. I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't hear about all that. I didn't grow up in church. Thank God that as a blind, spiritually blind person, I went to a church that told me about the Lord Jesus Christ and that told me the truth from the Word of God. Thank God that I went to some people who could see, who could lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad they led me to Him. I'm so glad I wasn't led to an institution. Amen. I'm so glad that I wasn't led to religious ritual. Amen. I'm so glad that I wasn't. We were certainly around a lot of folks in the airport and everything that are involved in all kinds of religions, and they have on the religious garb and different kinds of things, and some have buttons and some have no buttons, and some have a little dot and some have no dot. Some have head covering, some have no head. I mean, some, you know, all kinds of. I'm so glad today that instead of being led to some religion or religious ritual, I'm so glad today I was led to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that somebody told me Jesus loves me. I'm so glad somebody told me He loved me so much He died on the cross to pay for my sins. Folks, listen to me. That is the answer that the multitude needs. That is the answer that they ought to always find right here at Berean Baptist Church. It's the answer because that's where we received our sight. That's how I received my sight. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ. They were poor. They were blind. They were helpless. They had one hope. That's it. And the one circumstance that whole multitude had in common, they needed Jesus. They needed Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. They needed Jesus. The Bible says in verse 30, it goes on, it says, "Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by." There's their one hope right there. Jesus passed by. That's their one hope. You know, if somebody comes to Berean Baptist Church and they're here one time, that one time better be a time when Jesus passes by. We need to make sure that there's always that time where Jesus passes by. Whether they go to a teen meeting, whether they go to a junior church, whether they go to a Sunday school class, whether they are in a bus ministry, doesn't matter how they come. If they're in Shepherds, doesn't matter how they're here. If they're in Senior Saints, there ought to be that time when somebody comes and Jesus passes by. I'm so glad. I went to all kinds of camps. I've told you, just talked about it recently, that my motives were never right as an unsaved person. By the way, unsaved people's motives aren't supposed to be right. They're lost. And I went to all these activities and went to these things. And most of the time I was going because I wanted to see the girls. And I'd go to these activities. But I'm so glad, Brother Letson, today, that when I went to those activities, Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Oh, it ought to always happen, folks. Jesus needs to pass by. It ought to always happen, no matter when, where somebody's coming to, what part of our church, what part of our ministry that they are coming to. It ought to always be true that they can say, "Well, I may not have came with the right motive, but I'll tell you this, Jesus passed by." That's what these two blind men needed. They could have been with a lot of multitudes, you know, because there's a lot of multitudes out there, but they got in a multitude that was going where Jesus was going to pass by. And that was their one hope. They had no other hope. That was it right there. There was one hope. Sometime, somewhere in your life, you need Jesus to pass by. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to pass by. And if you look at your life, I'm sure there have been many times. We're in America, and there's probably been many times. Maybe it was a person handed you a gospel tract. Maybe it was somebody knocked on your door. Maybe it was somebody invited you to church. I don't know what it was. Maybe you sat in Sunday school class as a little child and Jesus passed by. Maybe you sat in church as a child and Jesus passed by. Maybe you went to a revival meeting and Jesus passed by and Jesus spoke to your heart and you knew that He was the answer. You knew that He was going to be able to help you to see. Thank God Jesus passed by. Thank God for these two, Jesus passed by. I think of the times before I got saved, Jesus passed by. It wasn't my life. I didn't grow up in primary church. I didn't grow up in junior church. I didn't grow up in the church nursery. Didn't go to church. Boy, I thank God, though, and I can look back now at the times that I was in a multitude. And I was in the multitude maybe for the wrong reason, but Jesus passed by. Praise God. Praise God. So their circumstances, they're poor, they're blind, they're helpless. They have one hope. One hope. And so their cry is the second thing about these men. Their cry, according to verse 30, the Bible says when they heard that Jesus, they had to hear it. They couldn't see him. They had to hear it. Can you imagine? They couldn't see. By the way, try walking around sometime in your house and close your eyes or maybe put a blindfold on and just see what it's like to be blind. In my mind, I see them and they got their arms locked and they're just kind of feeling their way around through life and maybe begging for this or begging for that and they all of a sudden Jesus is coming. Did you hear that? Jesus is, yeah, he's right around the corner. He's going to come right by here. And these men did all they could do. They cried out, and their cry was a strong cry. They cried out. They cried out. They knew they had a need. By the way, if a person's drowning, wouldn't they, if they come up and said, help? Well, you forget about pride if you're drowning. You forget about pride if you're in the house and the house is on fire and you scream out, help! You're not worried about what anybody thinks then. These two blind men, they're not worried about what everybody thinks. They're not worried about doing it the right way or saying it. They just cry out. Their cry was strong. Their cry was very simple. Lord, have mercy. They didn't have to take 10 months of catechism to come up with that cry, did they? I always think about Peter. He's drowning. He walks on water for a little bit, but he looks around and sees the wind and the waves and all of that, and then he starts to sink, and he just cries out, Lord, save me! No pride, right? Not worried about all the right words and everything out, everything else. That's just like these men. They cried out because they knew they had a need. Now look, that's one of the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to let people know that there is a need. We're supposed to preach and teach. I'm supposed to preach the Word of God. The Word of God, it shows us that we're sinners. We're supposed to teach that in our Sunday school classes. We're supposed to teach that in our Christian school. We're supposed to teach that. We're supposed to preach that. It's called the law. And if God doesn't give us the law, we don't know that we're sinners. And if we don't preach the law, we don't have any idea we're sinners. If the law doesn't say, thou shalt not steal, then it's not wrong to steal. If the law doesn't say that we aren't supposed to lie or bear false witness, then it's okay to lie. But see, the law shows us those things are wrong. If the law doesn't say, thou shalt not kill, it's okay to kill. That's why these men, they had to know they had a need. And so their cry was strong and their cry was simple. Here's what they needed. They needed mercy. Now, a blind man, that's pretty easy for him to see. You know, as I was growing up, I had a bicycle when I was 5 years old. There were a lot of people who didn't have bicycles when they were 5 years old. A lot of my friends didn't have bicycles. I remember getting the banana seat Stingray. Remember those? Yeah, I remember getting one of the first ones, Schwinn. Boy, it was nice. Some of my friends never had their first bike. Our family, Dad had a good job. We really were spoiled growing up. And so to think that I really had a need, it took a lot to show me that till I realized that thou shalt not was in the Bible, and thou shalt was in the Bible, and I realized I was a sinner. You know, really, I found out what I needed was mercy. My friend, if you're not saved today, you need to understand that's what you need. Amen. You just need God's mercy. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so you could have that mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us. It's his mercy. You say, I don't know if he'll have mercy. Oh, he'll always have mercy. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He loves you. He'll always show you mercy. It's just a matter of you crying out with that simple, yeah, but I think I ought to do some great thing. Naaman thought he should do a great thing too. And the man of God said, just dip seven times in the Jordan River. That's all. The dirty, nasty Jordan River? Yeah, it's dirty and nasty just like your sin. That's all you have to do. Just go dip in the river. You'll be fine. Well, I thought you'd tell me to do some great thing. No, God's not interested in our great things. God's interested in us realizing we're blind. God's interested in us realizing we're sinners. God's interested in us knowing that we just need His mercy. That's it. That's it. You say, why aren't more people saved? Because people don't want to admit they need God. A lot of Christians don't want to admit they need God either. We talked about that in the Revelation class. The Laodicean church, they didn't need Him. Hey, we have money. We have our jobs. We have our retirement. We have all this. We don't need God. Why do we need God? Pray? Why would I need to pray? Oh, my friend, listen to me. That's America's biggest problem today. America doesn't need God. Twin Towers go down, and all of a sudden people are singing God Bless America, and the tears going down their cheek. But all of a sudden, it takes just a few months, and everybody forgot about that. Because why? Because, well, our wallets are still full, and things are going the way we want them to go, and we don't need God. These blind men knew. They're running into people left and right. They're tripping. They're falling. They're trying to get to Him, and they cry out, and it's a strong cry, but it's a simple cry. Lord, have mercy. Why did children get saved at Berean Baptist Church more readily than adults? Well, because a child understands they need mercy. And they don't have so much pride where they're not willing to call out for it. You're here today without Jesus Christ. Understand, it's that simple cry, Lord, have mercy. It's that simple call to the Lord. Lord, I need your mercy today that is needed in your life to be saved. Their cry was strong. It was simple. It was smart. It was smart because when they heard that Jesus passed by, there were times in my life that I heard that Jesus was passing by. And there were times when I felt that tug on my heart to be saved. And I said, no, I don't want that. How about you? You ever have that? Where you knew God wanted you to make that decision? I remember as a lost person. I remember holding on to the back of the pew with a death grip. You know, I'm not going to get saved. No way. I'm not going to go. No, no, no. Why? But I remember these two blind men were very smart because when they heard that Jesus passed by, they responded. You say, I don't know why a person wouldn't get saved, preacher. I don't understand. When God speaks to their heart, why won't they move? Well, you know, I understand it because I remember being lost and not doing it, and I remember the pressure that was on and all of that. I'll tell you something even tougher than that is when God speaks to a Christian's heart and they don't move. And we just go on our way doing our own thing. You see, this was a smart decision when they heard, when God spoke, when they knew Jesus. Maybe they heard His voice. I don't know. Maybe they heard Him say, come. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, when God deals with us, we need to move like that. And we need to call out to Him. Oh, God, speak, Lord, for Thy servant hears. Here am I. Send me. Yeah, the men. Number two is the multitude. The multitude. And they're always there. Have mercy on us, these two cried. O Lord, Thou Son of David. By the way, they were smart too because they knew who He was. But notice the multitude here. Verse 31, the multitude rebuked them. Rebuked them. Here's two blind men. Here's one who was healing blind people. Here's one who was healing lame people. Here's one who was helping demon-possessed people and restoring them. And here's these two. Get away! What's wrong with you people? Get out of here! Get away! The multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. What are you doing? Hey, don't bother him! That is one of the amazing verses in the Bible. This multitude just did not care about these two blind men. They didn't care. They didn't care. Whew. There's always going to be a multitude against people coming to Jesus. Always. It could be a multitude of unsaved people. It could be the bar crowd, the party crowd. It could be, that crowd. It could be a religious crowd. Just not interested in people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. That multitude that cried out, hold your peace. Leave us alone. Don't bother him. He's got important things to do. That multitude is very, very present in our world today. That same crowd who's not interested in people getting the real help that they need. Yo, there's a big crowd of government wanting you to get health care. Well, some of you. And boy, they're crying out, everybody should have health care. Well, see, I'm a preacher that believes everybody should have Jesus care. I'm a guy who believes everybody should get to hear the gospel. I'm a guy who believes that is the solution to everything. I'm a guy who believes a drug addict should hear about Jesus. I believe an alcoholic should hear about Jesus. I believe that prostitutes and pimps and all that crowd, they all need to hear about Jesus. I believe the mafia needs to hear about Jesus. I believe organized crime needs to hear about Jesus. I believe they all need to hear about Jesus. But there's always going to be a multitude that says, oh, no, shh, we don't want to offend anybody. That's what this crowd, this multitude, rebuked them. Always a multitude. Judas had his multitude, remember them? His buddies, they paid him 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. And when he was about to kill himself, by the way, this was the religious crowd, he said, I'm going to kill myself. I'm miserable. I hate myself. And they said, what is that to us? Go ahead, kill yourself, buddy. I'd be real careful which crowd you're listening to. I'd be real careful, especially if you're not saved. The unsaved crowd. You know, they'll do it all that. Well, you probably shouldn't go to church. That's not good for you. That's the best thing in the world if they're going to point you to Jesus Christ. You can't get a better crowd than a crowd that tells you about Jesus. Yeah. You know, Hollywood crowd, they don't care about you. The rock and roll crowd, they don't care. The country and western, they don't. They just want you to buy their tickets. They're making money off you. Liquor manufacturers, they don't care about you. They don't care. Cigarette manufacturers, they don't care about you. They know what that thing's doing. They know what nicotine does. They don't care about you. They just want to make money. Right? Yeah. What is that to us? That's the crowd. Listen to me. We need to be very, very careful of the multitude that is out there in the world. There's a lot of backslidden Christians that don't care whether you turn out right or not. They don't care what happens to your life. I don't care. I like these people, though, these two blind guys, because number three is the mercy. We've seen the man, the men, the multitude, the mercy. The Bible says that they cried louder. They cried the more, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the mercy came. Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? By the way, he didn't have to, but he did. He stood still. He always has time for us. Isn't that amazing? In my mind, I see Jesus, he's walking along, and all of a sudden, these men, they cry out, have mercy! Have mercy! The crowd says, shh, be quiet. Hey, you two, quit bothering him. Oh, have mercy on us! And Jesus stops because he hears those words. I'm so glad at the age of 17, I don't know what time it was. It was very, very late at night when I called upon Jesus to save me. It was probably 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm so glad he was awake. I'm so glad that whatever he was doing, he stood still at my bedside. And he took the time to have mercy on this sinner. He took the time to save my soul. He took the time to change my life. And he always has time to meet your need. Call on him 2 o'clock in the morning. He'll stop what he's doing. He'll stand still like he did with these two blind men. The Bible says he called them then. And he said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Wow. They had to think. And it's amazing to me as I think of the multitude, they had to be amazed that Jesus would pay attention to two poor, begging blind men. But he has compassion. You may feel like you're not important to him, but if you were the only person on the face of this earth, he would have sent his son to die for you. Amen. You are so important to him. He loves you. And Jesus cared for them. They had to stop. They had to think, he cares about me. And so he simply says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" What is your need? Now, I say all this to say this to you today. What is your need today? What is your need? The multitude, certainly the multitude by far says, you don't need to go to church. Multitude says, you don't need to hear preaching. Multitude says, the Bible, oh, it's just a book like any other book. The multitude puts down everything we believe and stand for, by far the multitude, the majority of people in the world. But Jesus says to you, what do you have need for? What do you need today? I'm so glad that we can have a service where whatever your need is, God's ready to meet it. It's always amazed me. I've preached message after message after message. We figured it out the other day. We thought I've preached about 10,000 messages. Wow, that's a lot of messages. And in thinking about that, I remember so many times preaching a message and having somebody come up afterwards and say, "Thank you so much, preacher. I really needed that." "Oh, really? How'd God speak to your heart?" And they say something that had absolutely nothing to do with what I just preached. And I think, did you hear the message? "Oh, yeah, every word. Took notes." "And God spoke to you like that?" "Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much." Amen. I just think, thank you so much. Yeah, because he'll meet your need. He'll meet your need. I've always been amazed that a preacher would get up, and I remember as a young Christian, preacher would get up and he'd preach about salvation. And I remember thinking in my mind, I'm already saved. I don't need this. And God gave me something I needed. And do you know that every time we're under the preaching of the Word of God, we can get something that we need. Every time. Jesus said, "What is your need?" And he wants to hear it. Do you think Jesus didn't know they were blind? Oh, he knew. He knew. Fellow in John chapter 9, he was the man born blind. Jesus said it was because God could be glorified through his blindness. He knew. Yeah. Book of Exodus. "Did not I make the deaf, the dumb, the lame, the blind?" He knew. What's your need? "Oh, I don't understand why God lets this go on in my life." Maybe he wants you to ask him. "Ye have not because ye ask not." What's your need? "Well, can't you see we're blind?" No, that's not it. He wants you to ask. Tell him. Tell him today what your need is. They told him. They didn't, verse 33 is a classic verse. They didn't roll their eyes. He ought to know. I'm not gonna listen to him. He ought to know. It amazes me how many Christians go through their lives bitter, upset, angry at God because he didn't meet their need, but you never talk to him. I'm amazed how many people talk to everybody but him. Amen. It's how you deal with a lot of your problems, too. You talk to everybody but the person you should talk to. Man, you'll talk to everybody. You'll say, "Well, it's personal," and that's why you put it on Facebook. And you're shocked that anybody would know. How did they find out? How did they find out? But we won't just kneel at an altar and say, "God, here's the problem right here. Here's the problem. I'm blind. I'd like to be able to see. I'd like to be able to see. So-and-so seems to be walking with you real well, God, and their life is going real well. And God, mine's not going so hot. And God, there's something I'm missing. Maybe I just need to see, God. Could you help me to see? Boy, they read their Bible, they pray, they go soul winning, they tell folks about you, and I don't do that. My heart's not in it, and I don't want to do that, and I don't know why I don't. God, maybe could you do a little heart surgery on me today, that our eyes may be open? That our eyes may be open. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. And verse 34 tells us the miracle. The miracle. So Jesus had compassion. That's not a shock. A lot of people don't understand what compassion is. Compassion is feeling the same way about it that they do. It's identifying with them. It's understanding. Jesus could have compassion. He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. He knew the temptation. He understands the temptation. He understands you better than you understand you. He understands hurt. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows tears. He knows pain. He knows sorrow. He knows being turned on. His disciples forsook him and fled. One betrayed him, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Don't tell me he doesn't know how it is to be done wrong. And he had compassion. Oh, these blind men, they need to be able to see. And he shows that compassion. And he touched their eyes, and immediately, notice, this miracle was a perfect miracle because they received sight. Immediately they received sight. Do you know, Brother Perry, honestly, there's never been a time that God hadn't passed by my life and I dealt with what he passed by me for and I talked to him about that thing. There's never been a time that immediately he doesn't take care of it. Never had. Never been a time. I've got on an altar many times with a lot of guilt, and I got up without it. I came to him lost one night at the age of 17. And I came to him and asked him for his mercy, and he saved my soul. Amen. And he'll do the same for you. Immediately, they receive sight. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Do you need something today? That's what he says. What will you that I shall do unto you? Multitude pulling you back, pulling you down. Multitude telling you, oh, you don't need that. You don't need to get on fire for God. Oh, would to God we'd get on fire for God. Amen. You don't need all that. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. Had somebody tell me, well, you don't have to read your Bible every day. Oh, let me tell you something. It's why, you know, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not. What do you need today? You say, I'm just not happy. I'm just not rejoicing. Then what do you need today? Joy? Tell him. What do you need today? Oh, my home's a wreck. What do you need today? Tell him today. Tell him. You need saved today? Tell him. I need your mercy, God. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Please save me. What do you need today? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that our eyes may be open. Your eyes can be open too. You say, I don't understand. What do you need? Tell him. God, I don't get it. I don't understand. Tell him. Well, it just doesn't seem fair. Tell him. Father, it just doesn't seem fair. I don't understand. Father, help me understand. Tell him today. And you can rest assured, when you get up, you'll get what it is that you need. You'll get it exactly how you need it from the Lord. He'll have mercy. And you get up and you say, wow, it looks different now. Everything looks different now. Can you imagine these fellows when they could see? They're looking around. I mean, here's this multitude all around them, and all of a sudden, ooh, you're ugly. I mean, they now see these people. You know, I mean, it's amazing to them. Amazing. It. You know what's amazing is when all of a sudden things start making sense. That is one of the most unbelievable things about my Christian life is when stuff makes sense. And there's only one way it does. God, I don't get this. Can you show me what this is? What's your need today? What do you have a need for? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved. I do not know I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Raise your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, you say, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Pray for me. Please pray for me. I do not know I'm going to heaven. How many Christians would say, preacher, there's something in my life God has spoken to my heart about today. I realize he's passing by, and there's something he's speaking to me about. As a Christian today, please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. God's speaking to your heart. Father, we love you and thank you so much for not only passing by, but being part of our lives as Christians. I thank you for passing by over and over when I was lost and convicting me of that and showing me I needed to be saved. And I thank you for being a part of my life and for speaking to me over and over again. Thank you that I could always come. And when I come, you always ask, what do I need? Thank you so much for answering those prayers over and over and over again. Please bless now this invitation. I pray you'll meet needs in Jesus' name. Amen.